you're coming to this place that's just power of positive thinking. Well, you could go along and say, well, I'm positive. My life sucks. I'm positive. I'm thinking positively, and I'm positive. I have a firm confirmation that everything is horrible. Nobody loves me. I can't have a date. When I have a date, it goes sour. Nothing works out for me. I'm always in traffic. I can't tweet. My Facebook fell off. I'm going to have cosmetic surgery on my Facebook so that my tweeting can be acclimated through my chip body as I continually recreate myself within my own world of other people who are interested or not interested, but get forced to find out how I'm feeling when I'm tweeting. So then I guess tweet along. But the dynamic that comes into this place, that it's not about that. You spend all day, every day, figuring out what's acceptable and what's not. And we're saying we don't know the parts that are not. We don't know what you call evil. Jesus also didn't understand evil. Your Messiah came, and you're preparing the celebratory birthday celebration to the point that he wasn't about that. It wasn't you have to do my bidding or go to hell. It wasn't about that. It said if you come into the recognition that a Savior is born, the Messiah is born, and you're created in the image of that Creator, then you also are born. And if you come into your power, into your deity, if you show up for your own coronation, it's good to be the king, remember? They'll tell you that just all the way through. Well, not so much for Mary, Queen of Scots, but then she wasn't really queen, though, was she? Then you come along to a place where if you come into your power, into your authority within yourself, you decide. You see, Queen Mary, very best, comes into play time and time again and says, not in my world. Well, it was her world. She was the queen, and she says, not in my world, so much so that it comes to the place where it was not. And her words alone in that place of authority as a sovereign, we're trying to birth in you a sovereignty, birth in you, individual human creator, that you're culpably responsible with no plausible deniability of every aspect of your life, of your world, of your universe.
Okay, was Adolf Hitler claiming his sovereignty?
He was. He certainly was.
Oh, no.
And so much so, they're still speaking of him.
That's right. So where did he get it wrong a little bit?
How? What part did he get wrong?
Okay, James, we'll see what kind of mail you get on that one.
Wait a second.
Get out of here.
That's
right.
Now, hang on.
Hang on now.
There you go. What we ask you. Who gave Adolf Hitler power?
The people.
Who
wanted it. They
power?
Created it into their experience.
They most certainly did, and it showed up in their experience. But not all of them were killed.
that's good. Not everybody was killed. That's a good judge. He killed 6 million or whatever, or 30 million in Russia. You're saying, great, not everybody was killed, but he's cool.
Of course.
Okay.
Well, you think about it. If you go back, because you have time, you created it. If you go back in time and you undo the Third Reich,
yeah,
you undo it. Make no Adolf Hitler. Go back to the conjugal birth of Adolf Hitler, and make that so. Chunk him down the commode. He's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then see how your history lays itself out. And Rommel will be just as close as where he was when he ended up as he did otherwise. You like the contrast. You like the contrast. Otherwise, how would it be? How else would it be? How else would it be? How can you allow your body to be so infected or impaled by all that is about you that you now have conditional responses to speak of anything? This will hurt you, that won't. This will kill you, that won't. This is healthy, this is not. It's the preferences that are okay, fine preferences, but they're not edicts or judgments. And the only time they become edicts or judgments is when you embrace them. And when you embrace them, then guess what? That becomes filed away in your labyrinth of your mind, and it makes another wall. And it makes another wall. Okay, we can't go that way. Okay. Uh-oh, the government didn't send our money check. Uh-oh, Uh-oh, now there's no money. Uh-oh, wait, now then. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Well, if that's not allowed, then guess what? It's not even discussed. It's not even engaged. It's not even embraced.
You often use food metaphors, and living in the moment, enjoying the food you eat is important, but I also think from non-physical point of view that our physical life is so puny. I don't think you would say that, but I'm trying to get to a point. You reduce things to vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Is there a reason you pick the food metaphor?
Yes, because it's what you humans use to judge how you're doing with you, how much you can enjoy, how much sweet is too sweet. Well, you have to have the bitter to know what the sweet is. You can have something so sweet that it's sickening, okay? Those simple basal contracts and contrast that you engage, as in a culinary design or cuisine, if that's what you want to call it, then it becomes the basic building blocks on how you gauge or judge how wonderful an experience, culinary or otherwise, is, okay? That's too done. That's not done enough. That's raw. You can't eat that tartar. Yes, you can. It's this way. You do it this way, and you enjoy it, tartar. Well, no, I want mine well done. Well, you ruin it if it's well done. It's too done. You've taken all the flavor out of it. On and on and on and on and on. That's too salty. That's not salty enough. You can take the best wine that is. It costs $10,000 a bottle. Pour iodized salt in it, and you've ruined the wine. Try it. No problem. If you get Crossways and order the wrong bottle of wine and it's too expensive and you can't pay the bill, throw some salt in it and have the Sauvignon come and taste it, and he'll take it right off your bill. No problem. So the point of that whole place of your sensory perception in your taste, that becomes the first place where you as an individual human creator, that's the first line of gauging whether you enjoy or embrace or repel a flavor of the day. It's the first place. It's the first place. You eat with your eyes, then you eat with your taste buds. Okay, bake cookies or put on a wassail and have it, and fill your home with the odoriferous deliciousness that is fresh baked bread. Well, all of a sudden, your stomach starts pining for that yeasty leavened dough with lots of cow butter and heavy cream dripping off your elbows. You can sop that up, and you start enjoying it long before it ever makes it to the table. And if you push against that, then you can get Crossways of it, and that can become your own demise. Oh, 5 minutes on the lips and eternity on the hips. Well, the genie says, well, it certainly doesn't have to be a cellulited experience, but if it pleases you, it's okay with us. Here you go. We won't even have to eat it. We'll just smear it on your hips, and it can just stay there. No problem. We don't know why, but, you know, please yourself. You have all the power and control here, all the power and control. And then you turn around and start giving medals to those that overcome the very thing that they're trying to embrace. When all that happens is the human creator says, you know, food is delicious. All foods are great. There is no bad food. There's no evil people. There's no evil density in this thing that comes forth out of Mother Earth.
So genetically modified, fine. Genetically modified foods have no problem in our body.
None whatsoever. It's fabulous. Oh, but you feel better when you put an organic sticker on it, even though it came out of the same dumpster that it came before. But if it says an organic sticker, that makes it okay.
You're saying nothing we hear about anything is relevant to your sovereignty.
Yes.
So is there relevance in not believing something too much? Anything? So you have flexibility in your creation? So if you believe in something too much, you'll get boxed in. If you don't believe it enough, you don't know where you're going.
What's a belief, James?
An action.
No, it is not.
Thank you.
It's only a thought you've been thinking for a long time. So the belief system that they're cramming down your throat that you don't even have time to assimilate of whether you like it or not, all of a sudden becomes the standard by which you're judged.